Ben Knight, our correspondent in Washington, he's made a very interesting observation. According to Ben, America as a nation is a lot more forgiving of failure than most others. It lauds success, of course, but it's a country with an ethos of picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and starting over in pursuit of the American dream. That goes for cities too, according to Ben. Detroit, he says, is bankrupt, but it's already starting on the long road back. But that might be too big an ask for another American city. Once the workers' playground, it's now reeling after two of the worst weeks in its history. It's also a city that Ben Knight knows pretty well.
As a new correspondent, you step off the plane in your new country for the first time, full of excitement about the places you'll find yourself reporting from in the years to come. You imagine yourself becoming familiar with the streets of great cities like San Francisco, New York, Chicago. But for some reporters, there's a place that they find themselves unexpectedly returning to again and again, a place they'd never thought much about before, certainly never in their daydreams of life as a foreign correspondent. Michael Vincent, for example, is, for some reason, the Washington Bureau's expert on all matters Oklahoma. Lisa Miller assumed that she was done with Guantanamo Bay, but like Al Pacino in the third Godfather movie, just when she thought she was out, it pulled her back in. For me, it's Atlantic City, New Jersey. In the space of less than 2 years, I've been there four times. The only other place in the US I've been to that many times is New York City, but two of those visits were on holiday. Somehow, the news just kept dragging me back to the town they call AC. It's not like I never wanted to see Atlantic City. I did. I'd heard about it all my life, in Bruce Springsteen songs, Billy Joel songs, in episodes of The Sopranos, and most of all, in the show Boardwalk Empire, which depicts the original Sin City at the height of its fame during the Prohibition era. This was decades before Las Vegas rose from the desert sands in Nevada to take its crown. When I first visited Atlantic City, there was almost no one there. Literally. In the course of 2 or 3 hours, as I walked up and down the boardwalk, I saw no more than half a dozen people. That was because it was just days after Superstorm Sandy had slammed into America's eastern seaboard, and Atlantic City had been hit hard. Parts of the boardwalk had simply been shredded. The roller coaster lay twisted in the water like a tangled shoelace. And the giant casinos were boarded up and abandoned. The residents of Atlantic City had been ordered to evacuate, and most of them did. But it was only when I got to the end of the long row of casino buildings that I finally found some signs of life. There's a place on the boardwalk where glitzy Atlantic City stops abruptly. 1 minute you are walking past a gleaming steel and glass casino, and then suddenly it all just stops, and you're looking at a vacant lot overgrown with weeds surrounded by a chain-link fence, and that's it. Very quickly, you're into the old, run-down houses where the workers of Atlantic City live. And some of those workers had stayed behind to ride out the storm. One of them showed me a phone video he'd shot while he was standing on the boardwalk when the storm came in. This was the same boardwalk that was now scattered around the neighbourhood. His kids were climbing on the ruins. They were okay, and they hadn't really lost anything. But then they didn't have a lot to lose. And I realised that this was one of the poorest neighbourhoods I'd ever been in, literally in the shadow of the Pleasure Palaces just a few blocks away. And that's Atlantic City. If you stroll off the boardwalk and into one of the giant casinos that line it, Caesar's Palace, Golden Nugget, Trump Plaza, you then walk through the casino and out the other side onto Pacific Avenue, where the grand edifices immediately give way to squat, single-story shop fronts, offering to buy your gold for cash. After Sandy, I was seeing Atlantic City at its lowest point. Already the state governor, Chris Christie, was promising to bring the Jersey Shore back better than ever. But from what I could see, this was a city that had a good deal of misery going on, even in the boom times. Each time I returned after that, wondering how it was I'd managed to find myself back there again, instead of, say, New Orleans or Jackson Hole, the whole idea of Atlantic City even coming close to its former glory seemed more and more remote. And so it's turned out. This week, two of Atlantic City's casinos closed their doors for good. One of them, the Revel, was supposed to be the new development that halted the city's slide. It opened just 2 years ago. It cost around $2.5 billion to build. This was a stark contrast to the rundown casinos that share the boardwalk with it. But even the brand new world-class Revel could not pull the punters back to Atlantic City. Next week, the giant Trump Plaza casino and hotel complex will also shut down. I should have known that it would when I took a stroll through it back in March, with faded carpet, grubby walls, and a constant fog of tobacco smoke. At the start of this year, Atlantic City had 12 casinos. By next week, there'll only be 8 left. It wasn't Superstorm Sandy that did it. It was the competition from neighbouring states that have now legalised their own casinos, from the growth in online gambling and cheaper air travel, which means punters can very easily get to far glitzier destinations like Las Vegas and Miami instead of the bleak and barren shores of industrial New Jersey. Atlantic City is on its way to becoming a destination of a different sort, a living museum of decline, a half-dead relic of a bygone era. It's not the sort of thing that attracts the tourists, but I have a feeling I'll be back there yet again. This is Ben Knight in Washington for Correspondents Report.